You're listening to Intellectual Erection,
a place where we talk about the naughty.
To stimulate your thinking.
You're listening
to
Intellectual Erection.
Intellectual Erection.
Передачу, где мы говорим о дискультам,
субъекте
секса.
Pratar om det förbjudna.
To stimulate your thinking.
Welcome back to Intellectual Erection. It's 2021. What's been happening? Jesus. Well, to start off the year on a light note, I'm bringing back Sexy Tales in the Time of COVID, Volume 6. And these were the remainder of the stories that were sent to me quite a while ago. They've been sitting in a backlog, and now they're finally making their appearance for you to once more be reminded of the good times, maybe get turned on a little, and have something to look forward to when it comes to 2021, end of lockdown, when we're all vaccinated and healthy and able to get out there again and have some fun. So, having said that, I would like you to send me more sexy stories if you have them, even if you've sent them in the past. I like hearing them, and apparently so did you. These episodes got a lot of listens, and a lot of people were very happy with them. So please, don't be shy. Send me your raunchiest, sexiest, most outrageous, even funny stories to intellectualerection@gmail.com. I want to hear them all. Don't forget to follow along on Instagram at intellectual.erection. And my sex positive art page at aesthetic.erection. And as always, listen, subscribe, review, and most of all, enjoy. Do you remember traveling? Do you remember sun and warmth and the possibility of encountering someone new? A new smell of some person's body? That sexual tension building up? In some exotic environment. Well, this is what this story is about.
So a few years ago, I was working on a boat that was docked in the British Virgin Islands. So one time in particular, it was a Friday and we had gotten off work early. So my coworkers and I went to the beach and we had ordered some beers and we're having a good time, getting a bit loose. And then I noticed that there's this guy on a paddleboard, maybe like 20 meters from the beach. And he's really good looking and he's definitely caught my eye. And so I turned to my coworker and I'm like, this guy's really cute. And she's like, I'll give you $50 if you swim out to him and say hi. And I was like, okay, no worries. So I did. I swam out to his paddleboard and I like climbed on top of his paddleboard, which is not code word for dick just yet. I literally climbed on top of his actual paddleboard and I was just like, hi. And he was like, hi. And then my coworkers yelled from the beach. They were like, we'll give you $50 more if you kiss. And like, I'm not one to back away from a challenge. So I was like, all right. So we kissed and there was all this like chemistry, and keep in mind, I had literally just met this dude. Like I'd probably known him for not even a full minute. And he's really good looking, and there was just all this chemistry, even though we had only known each other for not even a minute, there was still like just so much chemistry there. So we kissed and then we kind of like decided to just spend the rest of the afternoon together. So he kind of takes me around on his little paddleboard and like shows me all the little coves and stuff like close to the beach. And then we get off at his, like, he's a sailing instructor at the time. So we got off and we went into his little like sailing school building or whatever, and of course it's after hours, so there's no one there. It's just me and him. Keep in mind, I'm just wearing a bikini. He's just wearing his swim shorts, so there's all this like subtle kind of checking out of each other's bodies, and there's a lot of really obvious tension, sexual tension. And so we like start having some beers, and he was like, well, do you want to come and see my Caribbean beach hut? And I was like, okay. So we walk back to his Caribbean beach hut, which is exactly what it sounds like. It was just this like very typical Christmas lights strung up everywhere. It smelled like coconuts. Like, I'm pretty sure there was a palm tree poking in through the window. It was just so charming. So we get back there, and he was like, well, what do you like to do in your spare time? And I was like, oh, I've gotten really into yoga. Do you want me to show you some moves? And so, like, obviously I'm trying to, like, get things going. And I'm, like, doing all these really suggestive yoga moves and, like, really just, like, arching my back. And and obviously it's working, because he comes over to me and he just, like, grabs my face and looks really deeply into my eyes and then just starts like making out with me, and it was so sexy. And then he just starts like kissing his way down my neck and like kissing his way down my torso, and he's just like caressing my boobs and he's grabbing my ass, and he just like pulls my bikini top to the side and starts sucking on my nipples. And then he throws me onto the bed, and he just like ripped off my bikini bottoms and just fucking went to town on the pussy. Oh my God, this man ate pussy so well. And we just fucked until like 3 o'clock in the morning. We had like the best sex. And every time I went back to the British Virgin Islands, I would see him and we would just like do the whole thing over again. And he was just, he was my little sex buddy. And I never got that money from my coworkers, by the way.
This next story follows seamlessly from our last tale. Also traveling, feeling that adventure, and adding a little bit of risk.
So this is quite an outrageous story, including drugs and alcohol and overall risky behavior. I was volunteering in Central America on these islands where it's quite expensive to get around. And I was volunteering at this island lodge hostel resort. And I'd been there for over 2 weeks, basking in the sun, getting a tan, wearing all my skimpy bikinis. And there was a party that, that one of the expats, or, you know, white immigrants, were throwing. And so we gather out the whole volunteer house, and I throw on the skimpy black shorts with like that barely covered my ass, and this little bikini crochet top and nothing else. I don't even think I brought flip-flops with me. And we go out to the mansion party. I spend my $8 for the water taxi to get there, which is expensive. And we get there, and it's free drinks, free food, jazz band. It's absolutely a fabulous time. We meet these guys who were just finished this epic sailing trip from North America down to Central America. Take a few more shots, go on to the next island, the next bar. Somebody paid my fare. Get to the bar. People are buying me drinks. And I'm like, great, I'm on a roll. I had this in my mind in this rah-rah party mode. And then at the bar, we see the guys. Next thing I remember, we're on their boat. And this boat is beautiful. And then one of the guys and I, we go down to the cabin area, and he shows me where he sleeps. And we start making out, rip each other's clothes off. And then I come to realizing, oh no, where's Sophie? And so I like unlatch from him. Throw on my clothes again and go up to find Sophie, and she's not really into the other guy. So I'm like, okay, babe, you know, you want to go? And we're still like super into each other at the bar. We were like making out, dancing together. And so they call us a water taxi. The water taxi picks us up and we get on, and the water taxi guy is like offering us cocaine. So we're doing coke, and the sun is rising. He stops the boat in the middle of the ocean, and I have this image in my mind of her and I high and drunk and just giddy. The front of the boat, sun is rising. We're both dangling our feet off the tip of the boat, side by side, giggling, making out, cuddling. I'm sure this boat driver was having a grand old time. So we get to our dock and I have this idea to propose to Sophie to offer the guy a blowjob in exchange for the boat ride. And she happily agrees. She proposes it to him with her better Spanish than mine. And he drops his trowel, gets onto the dock, drops trowel, and we go, her and I, giving him a blowjob. So hot, so powerful, her and I, like, working together. Like, this power that we have over this man and, like, exchanging desire and need, want, and, like, what we have to offer and what he desires. And we just felt so free in our sexuality. And coke dick, you know, it wasn't really getting up. So it's like, okay, it's not working. That's all finished. And we just, like, leave him on the dock. We, like, get up and, like, skip away, like, 20-minute hike back to the hostel where we're volunteering. And we get back to the volunteer house, strip down naked. We go skinny dipping in the ocean, frolicking around like mermaids in the ocean, just, like, looking up at the early morning sky, the waves crashing. We get out, run back butt naked in this, like, resort before it all opens for the day. Run back to our house, take a shower together in this tiny shower, like, still giggling and giddy and high on life and many drugs. And then I remember that I teach a yoga class in a couple hours, which I'm definitely not fit to do. So I run over to the main kitchen in my tiny little travel towel that barely covers my boobs and my bum. Tiny little pink towel I run over in my freckled and tan body to the kitchen. Just turn it around my sign to say yoga canceled for the day. Just then, the locals are coming in for their morning shift and see me. I run away. After that, crushed. I'd never seen Sophie again. She packed up and went to the next place. When I woke up in the afternoon, I could not believe what had happened, and I texted her to confirm that actually happened. For weeks, I thought of this and chuckled to myself, because while backpacking, I got far away from the sex positive and kink community. You know, it's harder to find out there in the big old world when not everybody are band together. So I felt this, like, re-ignition of this fire, of this sexual power, sexual prowess. And it still makes me chuckle, you know? Very risky behavior, but it was a grand old time.
You might remember this smooth, mellifluous voice in our next story. In fact, you've heard it throughout the series. But if you remember Volume 4, particularly, a story about teenagers in a hallway, in a high school, having sex, well then, we have a little surprise for you.
Are you one of those people who reached out to an ex during this pandemic? Maybe you are lonely. Maybe you got caught up your own thoughts with so much free time and couldn't help your mind drifting to them. Or maybe you're like me and felt compelled to make sure that they're okay. Turns out he and I had a lot to talk about. A few cobwebs that needed to be dusted off the memory of our time together. I shared this podcast with him, how I had submitted several stories. He kindly listened to my work and wrote me a story in response. With his permission, it is his story I would like to share with you, dear listener. Might sound a little familiar to you, and I hope it tantalizes you as much as it did me. The anticipation had been building all day. I told her I would make her beg, promised it to her. She only nodded with that small smile she flashed when she was excited. I reminded her periodically throughout the day, being sure to catch her at the most vulnerable of times. Each time I could see the longing in her eyes. I was going to make her beg, and she wanted me to do it. And beg she did. Started slowly enough. We met at the usual spot, in the blind spot of a stairwell with no camera. I could tell she was excited. I had barely touched her, and she was already breathing hard. Her clothes were nothing more than a distraction, to be treated as such. My hands moved expertly beneath them, gently cupping her plump breasts with one hand, while my other slid softly into her panties. A small pause as my hand rubbed her soft pubic hair before finally reaching its goal. Her eyes went wide as my middle finger slipped inside of her and began touching her silky insides. Her lips parted as she gasped, her eyes closing in pleasure as I began to rub her G-spot. She clung to the wall, having been told that she was not allowed to touch me. As my movements became more vigorous, she whispered, "Please," in my ear. "Please what?" I demanded gruffly, holding her body against the wall with my own. She shuddered as I slowly began rubbing her clit, small rotations at first, teasing it, before moving on to more intense and direct rubbing. Putting pressure on it and letting it pop from under my finger. Her legs quaked with each time I did it. "Please fuck me," she whispered, finally looking at me with her lust-filled eyes. I smiled slyly as I continued to pleasure her clit, feeling her getting wetter with each stroke. I hugged her to me and put my mouth right up against her ear. "You can beg better than that, can't you?" I said with a smile, in a voice made of velvet. She gasped heavily and clung to me as she came, breaking the rules I had laid out for her. Some rules were made to be broken, however, and I took her slowly to the ground, my hand still going about its business. "Beg for me, darling," I said, as I continued to rub her clit. My hard prick had been bulging against my pants the entire time, and I finally released it from its confinement. It was like polished wood, smooth and dark and hard. She took one look at it before gripping it tightly in her soft, pale hand. The feeling of her stroking my member drove me wild. "Please, baby," she said louder and more desperate this time. "Fuck me, I'm begging you." Her eyes were half closed and her mouth went from hanging open to biting her bottom lip. I could smell her hair and her sweat. It only made my cock harder, so hard it hurt. I very desperately needed to come, but held back my urge as I wanted to draw out her pleasure as long as possible. My finger went from rubbing her clit to slipping inside of her and aggressively rubbing her G-spot. She was so wet, I could hear her slit squelching with each push and pull. "You're going to have to beg harder than that if you want to get fucked. I can do this all day," I said in a knowing tone. A lie, of course. I could no more hold back my throbbing cock than she could prevent herself from soaking her panties. A common occurrence on these Wednesday afternoons. She gripped the collar of my shirt then, in her desperation and nearly crying from the overwhelming stimulation of her soaking wet cunt. She loudly moaned, "Please, please, just fuck me, please. I'm fucking dying for you. Please, just fuck my brains out." Feeling my own cock ready to burst from the gentle, rhythmic stimulation of her hand, I nodded slowly. She laid down on the ground, and I moved down to her waist, never taking my eyes off of hers. I peeled off her jeans slowly, teasing her with the anticipation. Her panties came off next. I folded the waistband first, before slowly peeling them off, savoring every inch of her perfect pale flesh. Her wet little private parts were laid bare before me, their pink lips glistening in the afternoon light. As I pulled her panties off completely, a single strand of cum from her orgasm clung to them. Seeing that almost made me come on her smooth, pale thighs right there and then. I brought my mouth close to her, savoring the scent of her as she watched me. I'd never been so horny in my life, and although I wanted very much to give her clit a lick, the foreplay was over. She had begged and begged, and had finally earned her reward. I spread her legs and took position above her. We looked each other in the eye, both of us breathing hard, as the bulging tip of my dick slowly prodded at the entrance to her slit. With a single, smooth thrust, I was inside of her, and her eyes bulged wide as her neck craned around in ecstasy. I didn't last long. Her tight, wet insides clung to the shaft of my hot, hard cock as she clung to me with her arms around my neck. I thrust back and forth a few times inside of her, listening to her grunt and moan with pleasure, as I did the same, not caring how much noise we were making. I lifted her shirt, exposing her bare breasts and hard nipples, peeking out from under her bra. My mouth immediately wrapped around one of them, my tongue swirling excitedly around her firm but soft nipple. I wanted her to feel amazing. I wanted her to be in ecstasy, and I wanted her to dream of this moment for years. Eventually, the warm, wet eruption of cum from the tip of my cock forced me to pull out of her, and I shot my load into my hand, not wanting to make a mess. We laid on the hard, cold ground of the stairwell, trying to catch our breath. The moments afterwards were always tender and soft. The lust had been drained out of each of us, leaving us nothing but the warmth of the love we had felt for each other. We laughed at the insanity of it all. How daring we were to have such intense, passionate sex on school property, like something out of a teen romance novel. And that's what it was, a fairy tale, a recurring dream of lust and love and passion and sex. A dream we never wanted to wake up from. With that, we put our far too restrictive clothes back on, composed ourselves, and rejoined the rest of the world, already waiting in anticipation for the next Wednesday afternoon.
This next story is going to be a bittersweet reminder of what it was like pre-COVID times when you could frolic at the sex club.
This is the story of my first time at a sex club. It was about 4 years ago on my honeymoon. A very good way to start a marriage, in my opinion. A new friend of mine, who I had invited to the wedding, had flown in from another province, and on her way to the wedding in Northern Ontario, she made a stop at Oasis. She told me all about her sexy adventures, and I listened intently while standing in my wedding dress, apparently ignoring my other guests. After the wedding was over, my partner and I traveled through Toronto and decided to make a stop of our own. We booked a place to stay, read every detail of the website, and then took a cab over. I was terrified and exhilarated. Having been in a solidly monogamous relationship for the past decade, neither of us had done anything like this before. We promised each other no pressure to do anything that we didn't want to do. Worst case scenario, we'll just go in, take a tour around, and then turn around and walk right back out. We arrived at the club, which was an old brick mansion and very discreet. Inside, we were greeted by a beautiful person at the front desk who wanted our names and our cash. She told us about the rules of the club, consent for touching and everything, even for watching. Being raised a good Catholic girl, I am a solid rule obeyer, which makes breaking the rules, even a little bit, terribly taboo for me. We walked through the club, first to the bar and then to the lockers. Already I could feel the eyes on me. I kept my own kind of cast to the floor, not really aware that there was a floor at all, only aware of the vibration of my skin as eyes continued to stare. In the locker room, we wrapped ourselves with the towels, conscious of the fact that we were alone in this modesty. We took a short tour around the club until we found the pool outside, and we cuddled up on the bench and began just soaking in the scene. It was a July evening and still quite warm after a hot day. There were many people on the deck and in the pool, which was practically frothing with so much action. The fuck waves created by each couple was colliding and creating white caps that only caused the people in the pool to thrash around more. Then our attention was caught by a woman across the deck who had begun moaning. She was being fucked hard by five or six men gathered around waiting for their turn. Holy shit. At this point, I'd begun to let my towel slide down my body, and my partner's cock was hard and slipping through his towel. I began stroking the side of his thigh, loving the freedom to touch him so openly in public. On the bench next to us, two couples sat down. They were middle-aged and fully clothed. Their nervousness made me imagine that they were old friends trying to navigate a new dynamic. They giggled as they began touching each other. I tried so hard not to look at them. The watching requires consent rule was sternly etched in my mind. I bit my lip to stop myself from smiling too much because it turned me on knowing that they were giving in to this clear sexual tension. And it made me feel confident that we weren't the only newbies in the space. By now, our towels had merely become seat cushions. We left the two couples to see what was going on in the rest of the mansion, keeping our towels off. We saw a dungeon, sex swings with people fucking, leather beds with more people fucking, humans of all sizes, colors, ages, genders, and interests, and I was in heaven. Eventually, we found the Shaggin' Wagon and decided to try it out. Yes, the room is slightly cheesy, but it made us laugh at ourselves for choosing it of all the sexy rooms there. Next, we wanted to try out the windowed red room that we'd seen on the way in. There were two femme-looking bodies wrapped around one another already occupying the red-lit chamber, and so we made our way over to the peep window. We briefly discussed whether to ask to watch, but decided that in this particular case the invitation was implied and anonymity preferred. I kneeled on the chairs looking at the scene as my partner played with my clit from behind. Another couple joined us at the window, mimicking our position and chatting to us casually, very complimentary. They were bodybuilder type couple, which isn't usually my type, but I was so intrigued that they found my soft curves appealing and my confidence was growing. We then made our way to the black couches and began fooling around there. We squeezed ourselves in where we could as the couches were packed with other people engaged in all kinds of configurations. And not too long, we noticed a very young couple next to us watching us while they played. They were young, but seemed so experienced and comfortable in the scene. I realized in that moment that I liked being watched. Eventually, we took a break and decided to go back to the pool area to lounge. We got drinks and sat down in the same spot where the gangbang had occurred hours earlier. All of this was so surreal. We snuggled and we chatted with the other people sitting in the lounge area. Everyone talked to each other about how long they'd been coming, and everyone said for years. And we said that this was our first time, and we were so thrilled to say it out loud. There was another couple there who didn't seem to be getting along very well. He went inside to get drinks and didn't come back. Yeesh. At first she was upset, but then began enjoying herself again and began playing with another couple. Yes. Eventually, everyone on the deck began playing, rubbing, sucking, watching each other. As more people started to gather, I wanted to watch it all, so I climbed on top of my partner and began riding his cock while rubbing my clit. I noticed that the young couple from earlier in the night joined the group and began fucking next to us again. We were being pursued, and it felt so good. I counted 12 people in the lounge area, all watching each other and me. I then locked eyes with this older man who was having his dick sucked while staring directly at me in a way that reminded me of all the dirty perverts in my fantasies. I couldn't look away. I kept my eyes on him as he kept looking at me up and down, watching me ride. I imagined him reaching out to touch my nipples just as my partner reached up to grab them. And just then, I came so hard and so loud. I closed my eyes and I could hear other people coming at the same time. Holy fuck. Eventually, we had to dress to leave. And I remember pausing and saying, "So people just do this, like all the time? Where have I been? I need to come back."
If you were aroused up until now, well, here's something that will surely kill it. This is the comic relief portion of the tales. So here's a little story from your dirty uncle, as told over the holidays.
"You gotta go down on both knees. She's just like a one fucking knuckle. That's all I'm gonna do is one knuckle. It's not even a fucking knee. She's resting on a fucking knuckle with one ball in her mouth looking up at me like, 'Hey, you got any fucking cigarettes?' I'm like, 'Is that a stupid question I ask when you're sucking on my nut or what?' Anyway, I pull out a cigarette for this broad, then she's asking me for a light. I'm like, 'I ain't got a fucking light.' So I ask her, 'Do you mind matches?' She's like, 'I don't know, I no fucking matches. She's got hairspray up to the wazoo. Her hair's coming up to my titty and she's got a ball in her mouth.' I light a fucking match for this broad to light her cigarette while she's got a ball in my mouth, and her fucking hair catches on fire. The whole fucking thing just goes up poof like it was nothing. Then she's got my curtains on fire. The cat's scared. And now I got one ball in the mouth, this woman with a fucking cigarette sticking out of it, still looking up at me like, 'When are you gonna light this motherfucker?' But her hair's on fire and she's catching up my curtains and the cat's scared. Anyway, my wife walked in. It was a problem."